Hello and welcome to episode one of the Brad Porter Fitness Podcast. I'm Brad and today we're going to follow up on a couple of posts that I've made in recent days on the importance of sleep, not only for overall health and disease prevention, but more so from the point of view of weight loss. So often it's discussed in weight loss and personal trainers and everyone talks about it, that in order to lose weight, we need to get a good night's sleep. Now, I think most people think that sleep is somehow, we're burning more fat when we sleep. So the reason that we want to sleep more in order to lose weight is that when we go to sleep, our body burns fat. But that's not necessarily the case. There's nothing inherently fat burning about sleep. It's more so the effect that a lack of sleep has on certain hormones, leptin and ghrelin being two of them, and the effects that it has on those hormones, which in turn affect our appetite. Okay, and I highlighted a meta-analysis in which participants, and it was quite a large number of participants, that were sleep deprived consumed on average 385 extra calories the next day. So again, when we talk about calories in versus calories out, a lack of sleep for one night caused 385 extra calories to be consumed next day. And a point with that as well is there was no effect on energy expenditure, so that was a net gain of those calories for the following day. So you can see that over the course of, and most, a high percentage of the population nowadays are chronically sleep deprived. If you add those 385 calories up over the course of a week, you're looking at, over 2,500 calories right there. So if you're, you're potentially thinking that you're getting yourself into a deficit, that deficit might be wiped out pretty quickly just through a lack of sleep and those unconscious calories that are consumed in the days following. One of the interesting questions that arose from the study that and the information that I posted the other day was the number of people asking why is it the case that when we sleep less, the body wants to consume more calories. Now, an interesting point and an interesting theory that's been put forward is that, generally speaking, we are the only creature on the planet that deliberately sleep deprives itself. So if you look at any other creature in the wild, when it needs to sleep, it sleeps. Now the only time, and a caveat to that, the only time that an animal will potentially sleep deprive itself is in starvation conditions. So if you think of an animal in the wild, there's a scarcity of food, that animal potentially needs to stay up later at night to extend its hunting period. So you can see there, from an evolutionary perspective, we as humans now, we leave our lights on, we work into the night, we scroll on our phones, we stay up late. That's potentially mimicking starvation conditions. So it's essentially an evolutionary survival response to a lack of food. Now, obviously, modern life for us, there isn't a lack of food. So what are some things that we can do to optimize our sleep? Now, I know that, not all of us have a perfect environment for sleep. We all have different lifestyles, different work conditions. Some of us work late into the night. Some of us are shift workers. Some of us have young kids. So it's not always perfect to go to bed at the perfect time at night, sleep through 8 or 9 hours uninterrupted and wake up in the morning. That's simply not the case. But the idea is that, whether we have 8 or 9 hours sleep opportunity or 4 or 5 hours, what can we do to optimize the sleep that we do get? So the following three habits you can implement right away for very little cost in terms of effort or energy, and they should, over the period of time, help you to get a better night's sleep. So the first one is around our use of phones. So it's rather ironic that I'm recording this episode at 8 o'clock at night on my phone. So it's a challenge that we all face. We're in a culture that you know, spends a lot of our time on social media, and often the first opportunity that we get to spend time and catch up with what's been going on through the day is when we get into bed. I'm guilty of it as much as anyone. You know, you get into bed and you spend the next half an hour scrolling. There's nothing more detrimental to your sleep than spending time on your phone in bed. So the mechanism behind that is that your phones and screens in general, so we can include, you know, computer screens, laptops, televisions, they emit blue light. So essentially that blue light is a similar light that's emitted from the sun. So again, if we talk about and we talk about things from an evolutionary perspective, blue light sends a signal through our eyes to our brain that it's daytime and that we should be wakeful. So in order for us to fall asleep, we need to be secreting melatonin. Now, normally melatonin's onset is around sunset. So the sun goes down, conditions become darker, there's less blue light, melatonin is secreted, makes us sleepy, we fall asleep. Now, you know, if we're spending time at night scrolling and on screens and underneath blue LED lights, then obviously that hormonal response isn't going to happen. It's going to be difficult for us not only to fall asleep, but stay asleep and get into those deep REM cycles. So it's a big one and it's a difficult one, but try at least an hour before sleep all screens to go off. See if that doesn't help your sleep. So the second one is to keep your bed and your bedroom in general for sleep and sleep only. So the idea is that you want to create an association in your brain between your bed and sleep. So if you spend time in the bedroom, you know, watching television, again, scrolling on your phone, even reading, eating, drinking, you know, a lot of people take their laptop into bed and do work even throughout the day. You're not necessarily helping your brain to learn these connections between your bed and sleep. So my third tip is to expose yourself to sunlight first thing in the morning. Now it's all linked to your circadian rhythm. So just as I spoke about the importance of not exposing your eyes to bright light and in particular blue wave light at night in order to allow the release of melatonin, the opposite is true in the morning. So we want to suppress melatonin and raise cortisol. Now cortisol gets a bit of a bad rap as a stress hormone, but in low levels, cortisol is super important for a number of functions in the body. And you know, first thing in the morning is a time that you want cortisol to be quite high, because that hormone will wake you up and give you energy to tackle your day. So thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully you took something away from today's episode. And if there's any other topics that you'd like me to explore in future episodes, make sure you let me know. Also, feel free to provide some feedback, good or bad. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this. I can't say it's the most comfortable thing I've ever done, sitting here alone talking into my phone, but hopefully it'll improve as we go. So once again, thanks, and I'll see you guys next time.